Hi, Brownies. Welcome to the Brownie Files.
No.
Today we're going deep, into this book, The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel.
Yeah, it's really about exploring those fascinating ways our minds shape our finances, not just, market forces.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So we're going to be going way beyond the typical advice like stocks and bonds and all that to really try and get at those often irrational ways we all think about money.
Yeah. Even it.
So, what's the big takeaway here? Why should we even care about this whole psychology of money thing?
I think it's kind of the missing puzzle piece, Traditional financial advice is so focused on the what, save this much, invest in that.
Right.
But Heisel's book, The Psychology of Money, it really helps us understand the why behind all that, why we do what we do with money. And I think that's absolutely crucial for actually sticking to a plan and reaching those goals you set for yourself.
That makes a lot of sense. It's kind of like knowing all the best diets in the world. It doesn't really help you if you just can't resist that late night pizza craving.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah, exactly.
Housel argues that our psychological biases, those ingrained habits, even our emotional responses to money can be just as important as understanding interest rates and investment strategies.
Okay, I'm definitely intrigued here. But this book is packed with stories and insights.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we even begin?
Well, one of the most compelling ideas is that wealth isn't always what it seems. He tells a story about Ronald Reed. He was a janitor in Vermont, lived a remarkably frugal life,
okay,
fixed cars, swept floors, chopped firewood, seemingly nothing extraordinary,
Sounds like a pretty simple life. Did he have an epic garden or something?
Maybe. But here's where it gets really interesting. When Red passed away at 92 years old, he left behind an $8 million fortune to his local hospital and library.
Wait, what? Millions? How did a janitor amass that kind of wealth?
It wasn't through risky bets or some complex financial maneuvering. Reed simply saved consistently, invested in blue chip stocks, and let the magic of compounding do its thing over decades. It's the classic example of wealth is what you don't see.
Hmm. So it's not about, the flashy spending or trying to get rich quick. It's more about the quiet discipline and the long-term thinking.
Exactly. Reed's story really challenges our assumptions about who is wealthy. It's not always the ones driving the fancy cars or living in mansions. True wealth is often built quietly and steadily through consistent saving and smart long-term investing.
Powerful message. And speaking of investing, Housel also kind of challenges us to think differently about the roles of luck and risk and success.
Yeah, for sure.
He compares Jesse Livermore, a trader known for his wild swings of fortune, to Warren Buffett, who built his wealth over decades with a very patient, steady approach.
Yeah, those contrasting stories really highlight that while skill is super important, acknowledging the often overlooked influences of luck and risk can help us manage those expectations and honestly make more rational decisions. I think we tend to attribute success solely to skill, but sometimes it's just being in the right place at the right time.
So we shouldn't beat ourselves up too much when things don't go our way or get overly cocky when we win big.
Exactly. It's about striking that balance between confidence and humility, recognizing that we can't control everything, but we can control how we respond to those ups and downs.
Makes a lot of sense. So if we can't control luck or perfectly predict the market, what can we do to increase our chances of success?
Well, Housel argues that one of the most important things is to have what he calls room for error in our financial plans.
Room for error.
Yeah.
What does that mean exactly? Does that mean like having a giant emergency fund?
It's more than just an emergency fund. It's a broader concept of building these financial buffers into your life, anticipating the unexpected, knowing that things won't always go according to plan, and having the financial flexibility to kind of roll with the punches.
Ah, so having a safety net, so to speak, not just for emergencies, but for unexpected opportunities or even just changes in life circumstances.
Precisely. Housel uses the example of Bill Gates, who always maintained a large cash reserve. This allowed him to weather economic storms and capitalize on opportunities when others were really struggling. It gave him the freedom to make these bold moves without the fear of total ruin.
So being conservative in some areas, like having that cash cushion, can actually enable you to be more daring in others. That's kind of counterintuitive, but makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that life is full of surprises and planning accordingly. Having that room for error, it gives you peace of mind and the ability to make decisions from a position of strength rather than fear.
I'm starting to see how these psychological principles can really have a huge impact on our financial well-being, but we've only just begun to unpack the wisdom in the psychology of money. There's so much more to explore.
Oh, yeah. Definitely a lot more to dive into.
Brownies, stick with us. We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. Welcome back, Brownies. We're digging deeper into the psychology of money and trying to uncover those hidden forces that shape our financial lives.
Yeah, and in this part, we're really going to explore this fascinating human tendency to kind of gravitate towards pessimism, especially when it comes to money.
Yeah, it's so true. We often find those doom and gloom scenarios so much more compelling than the optimistic ones. Why is that? Does pessimism somehow make us feel smarter?
There's definitely a certain allure to pessimism. It often kind of masquerades as intelligence and realism. You know, we tend to view those who predict disaster as more savvy, more aware of the risks.
Like that one economist who predicted America was going to totally collapse back in 2008.
Exactly. Those kinds of narratives have this enduring appeal, especially during uncertain times. But the psychology of money challenges us to question whether pessimism is actually a more reasonable or helpful perspective in the long run.
So are you saying we should just ignore all the potential risks and just embrace blind optimism?
No, not quite. It's not about ignoring risks, but understanding how our tendency toward negativity can actually distort our perceptions and then lead to bad decisions. You know, Housel encourages us to find a balance between acknowledging potential pitfalls and maintaining a sense of perspective.
So being realistic, but not letting fear completely paralyze us.
Exactly. Housel uses this really fascinating analogy to illustrate this point. He asks us to imagine an alien visiting Earth in 2009, right after the financial crisis.
Okay, I'm picturing this little green dude with an antenna, totally baffled by our earthly finances.
So this alien sees the physical economy, you know, the buildings, the infrastructure, all the resources, they're largely intact. Yet people's perceptions and their financial well-being have just plummeted. The alien is confused because nothing tangible has really changed.
So even though things weren't as dire as they seemed, people were just freaking out after that 2008 crash.
Yeah, exactly. What changed was the story we were telling ourselves about the economy. Fear and pessimism took hold, and it kind of became this self-fulfilling prophecy.
So you're saying the stories we believe, the narratives we buy into, they can actually have a real impact on our financial outcomes.
Absolutely. Housel argues that narratives are this powerful force in shaping not only individual behavior, but also broader economic trends. They can either fuel growth and innovation or hold us back with fear and doubt.
It's like if we believe things are going to be terrible, we might actually act in ways that make them terrible. Just like a vicious cycle.
Precisely. And that's why it's so crucial to be aware of the narratives we're absorbing and to question whether they're based on facts or just, you know, plain old fear-mongering.
Okay, so how do we protect ourselves from falling prey to these negative narratives, especially when it seems like they're everywhere we look?
Well, Housel offers several strategies. First, he highlights the danger of what he calls appealing fictions. These are those narratives that sound fantastic, they offer easy solutions, but often ignore the complexities of the real world.
Like those get-rich-quick schemes that promise you'll be a millionaire by next week.
Exactly. We're so eager to believe there's this easy path to wealth that we often overlook the hard work, the discipline, the patience that's required for long-term success. We latch onto those appealing fictions because they offer comfort and a sense of control in a world that feels unpredictable.
Yeah, it's like we want to believe there's some magic formula. So we just ignore those boring but essential principles, like saving, investing, managing risk.
Exactly. And this leads to Housel's second point about narratives. We all have this incomplete view of the world, but we tend to form a complete narrative to fill in the gaps.
So we just hate uncertainty so much. We make up stories to make ourselves feel better.
In a way, yes. We crave explanations. And when we don't have all the information, our brains tend to kind of invent stories to make sense of things.
But those stories might not even be accurate, right?
Exactly. And that's where we can get into trouble. We might make financial decisions based on assumptions that are totally off base.
So we need to be wary of those appealing fictions and recognize that our own narratives might be flawed. But how do we actually do that? It seems really hard.
It is challenging, but Housel provides some practical guidance. He emphasizes the importance of cultivating humility in our approach to money.
Humility, like admitting that we don't have all the answers.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that we don't know everything. The world is full of surprises, and our own understanding is always limited. He uses the analogy of blackjack card counting.
Oh, blackjack. Now you're speaking my language. I love a good card game analogy.
So even the most skilled card counters, they know they can't predict every single card. They have a system. They play the odds. But they always acknowledge there's room for error.
So it's not about being perfect. It's about managing risk and accepting that we can't control everything.
Exactly. That mindset is crucial for making good financial decisions. We need to plan for the unexpected, have a margin of safety, and avoid those all-or-nothing bets that could wipe us out.
Like having an emergency fund, diversifying investments, not putting all our eggs in one basket. Those are all ways to build in that room for error.
Exactly. Housel argues that room for error is often seen as conservative, but it's actually the opposite. It allows you to stay in the game longer, to endure setbacks, and to capitalize on opportunities when they arise. He cites Bill Gates, who famously maintained this large cash reserve, as a perfect example.
So having that cushion allows you to take calculated risks without being totally terrified of ruin.
Precisely. It's about finding that sweet spot between prudence and boldness.
This is so eye-opening. It's like the psychology of money is giving us a whole new way to look at our finances.
It really is. And I think one of the most empowering messages in the book is that we should focus on what we can control.
Because there's so much in the financial world that we just can't control.
Exactly. Right. We can't control what the stock market does or predict when the next recession is going to hit. But we can control our savings rate, our spending habits, our investment strategy, and the narratives we choose to believe.
And focusing on those things, the things we can actually control, that can give us a sense of agency and empowerment even when things feel uncertain.
Exactly. It's about taking ownership of our financial lives and making choices that align with our values and goals.
Brownies, this conversation is far from over. We'll be back for our final segment after a quick message. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Deep Dive Brownies. We've been on this journey exploring the psychology of money, uncovering those hidden biases and mental models that kind of shape our financial lives.
Yeah, and in this final part, we're tackling a question that's super relevant in today's world, you know? How do we even make sense of an economy that often feels chaotic and unpredictable?
It's true, because let's be honest, it feels like the financial rules are changing every other day. It's enough to make anyone's head spin.
You're telling me. And Housel really dedicates a big chunk of his book to this issue. He says our understanding of the economy is often clouded by these outdated narratives and expectations that haven't caught up with reality.
So we're like clinging to these financial stories of the past, even when the world around us has totally changed.
Exactly. He takes us through this journey of economic history, highlighting how our perceptions of money and wealth have been shaped by the times we grew up in. Like, for example, that idea of a stable middle class, you know, everyone living pretty similar lifestyles. That was a dominant narrative for decades after World War II.
Right. The whole American dream thing. Hard work equals a good life. A house, a car, all that.
Exactly. But as the economy shifted, you know, globalization and technology reshaped the workforce, that narrative started to unravel. The gap between the rich and the poor widened. And that traditional path to middle-class stability became less certain.
So we're holding on to this outdated idea of the American dream, even though the economic landscape is totally different now.
Yeah, and this disconnect between what we expect and the reality of today's economy, it creates a lot of financial anxiety. We're trying to play an old game with new rules.
It's like trying to use a 1950s map to navigate a city today. You'd be totally lost.
Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
So how do we actually navigate this complex and ever-changing world? Housel suggests that instead of trying to predict the unpredictable, we focus on building a personal financial system that's resilient and adaptable, no matter what the broader economy is doing.
So like creating a foundation that can weather any storm.
Exactly. He emphasizes those timeless principles, you know, like having a high savings rate, living below your means, diversifying your investments. These are the bedrock habits that help build wealth and financial security, regardless of what the stock market is doing or what's happening in politics.
It's about controlling what we can too. Even when the world feels totally out of control, that's a powerful message.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it ties back to one of the big themes we've been talking about, the importance of understanding our own psychology. Our emotions, our biases, those ingrained habits, they all play a huge role in our financial decisions.
So it's not just about the technical stuff. It's about the human element, too.
Absolutely. And one final thought, House leaves us with, in a world overflowing with information, the most valuable skill is knowing how to filter the noise and find the signal.
It's true. We're bombarded with financial advice. Mm-hmm. All these experts. It's easy to get lost and forget what matters.
Exactly. He wants us to develop a healthy skepticism. Question assumptions. Be wary of those promising easy solutions or guaranteed returns.
Think for ourselves. Do our own research. Don't just follow the crowd.
Exactly. Be thoughtful and intentional about our financial decisions. Don't just react to the latest headlines or market swings.
Wow, this deep dive into the psychology of money has been incredible. It's given us so much to think about and so many tools to use in our own lives.
I agree. It can totally change how you think about money and help you make smarter, more informed choices.
Brownies, we definitely recommend checking out The Psychology of Money. It's a game changer. Remember, the best investment you can make is in understanding yourself. Until next time, happy diving!